As we just heard, American jazz flourished in Paris in the early decades of the 20th century. Well, so too did another type of music that became popular in America during the 1970s, disco. In fact, disco was born in Paris during World War II for some very interesting reasons. Here to tell us about the origins of disco is Peter Bronstein. Bronstein writes about film music and popular culture for The Village Voice and other publications. He's currently working on books on nightclubs and the 1960s counterculture.
Most Americans associate the word discotheque with the disco music craze of the 1970s, but this unique nightclub format actually dates back to France during World War II. German occupation forces in Paris outlawed American jazz due to its combination black, Jewish, and American cultural pedigree. As a result, jazz music became the chosen favorite of the French Resistance, whose members frequented illicit underground clubs where jazz records were played over crude public address systems. The discotheque emerged as the product of wartime austerity and French infatuation with American popular culture. Its literal meaning in French is record library, and it generally refers to any nightclub that features recorded instead of live music. At war's end, the French discotheque concept really took hold with the opening in 1947 of Paul Passini's Whiskey a Go-Go in Paris. The whiskey was a celebration of all things American. Its walls were covered with lids from Hague & Hague and Dewar's whiskey cases, signifying French adoption of American tastes in liquor, while the sound system piped in Le Jazz Hot for French hepcats. French discotheques guarded their illicit identity forged during the war, and the most famous discotheques of the 1950s prided themselves on a speakeasy-style anonymity. A case in point is Chez Régine, opened in 1957 by the French nightclub luminary Régine Zilberberg. Chez Régine's in-crowd, which included director Louis Malle and writer Françoise Sagan, learned of the club through word of mouth. The discotheque itself was located in the cellar, where a midget dance floor assured the revelers an almost conspiratorial intimacy. The discotheque finally came to America in the early 1960s. This cultural export was facilitated by the inauguration, in 1958, of nonstop jet service between New York and Paris on the Boeing 707, which gave rise to a leisure class known as the Jet Set. These glamorous socialites were the discotheque's most loyal patrons, and an international discotheque scene emerged in response to their mobile, transatlantic lifestyle. Another catalyst for the arrival of the discotheque in America was the twist, which became the biggest dance craze of the early 60s, and acquainted many American clubgoers with the European high-tech, low-manpower approach to nightclubbing. The first American discotheque was founded in New York City on New Year's Eve, 1962, by Olivier Coquelin, a French expatriate. Called Le Club, it basically transplanted the French disco concept of a low-key exterior, tiny dance floor, and music spun by a disquaire, the French word for disc jockey. As opposed to the high visibility of today's nightclub DJs, the early disc jockeys were meant to be heard, not seen. They spun 45s from a concealed booth while viewing the dancers through pillbox slits. By 1964, discotheques began springing up across the United States. A visit to any discotheque in the 60s might involve the spectacle of people gyrating to dances like the Boogaloo, the Froog, or the Bug, a dance consisting of twitching and scratching one's body as if infested and then passing the bug on to the next person. After a brief heyday in the mid-60s, the American discotheque came alive once again in the 1970s, spawning a much broader entertainment phenomenon that left an indelible mark on American music and popular culture.
You've been listening to Peter Bronstein, a writer on popular culture for The Village Voice. Bronstein's op-ed was based on his article on disco that appeared in the November 1999 issue of American Heritage magazine. This is Talking History.